Are your daily decisions and influence yielding spiritual fruit? Or is your life more like a dried up vine? Impressive in appearance, but spiritually empty. Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. I hope you are having an awesome Tuesday morning on your drive into work today. We know that God is on the throne. He's in control of our lives. He goes before us in all things. Today is Old Testament Tuesday. And if you enjoy Old Testament Tuesday, subscribe, like, share, comment. And if you are in that Washington Defender app, place this within your huddle. It is incredibly important that we understand the Old Testament, that we understand what God has said from old, because even though it has the word old in it, it's still those foundational principles that we can learn and draw from. And it really helps us to understand accurately the New Testament. It's one book from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation. Even though I know it's 66 books, I understand that. But the fact is, God has one overarching message throughout all of history and society and culture, and that is that salvation's only through Jesus Christ our Lord, who died and rose again that we may have eternal life, that God has chosen the nation of Israel to be his chosen people, and that he loves them very, very much. So we're in Ezekiel chapter 15, and it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, how is the wood of the vine better than any wood of a branch which is among the trees of the forest?" Now, look at this. It is a very, very specific question. How is the wood of the vine? So I got some Concord grapes, I think, up behind me. And the question simply is this: how is the wood of the vine better than any wood of a branch which is among the trees of the forest? So if you think of a tree of the forest, you know, you can take down that tree. You can slice it and dice it, make it into lumber, timber. You can use it to build structures of grandeur, of amazing things. You can make a cross. You can make whatever it might be. You can do a lot of things with that wood, right? You can really see God use that wood in a very powerful and majestic way. Now, I was raised in the Yakima Valley. We had some vineyards on our farm, and I almost can guarantee, now I know my dad listens to this, so he can correct me in the comments if he wants, but I don't think we ever built a house out of vines. In fact, I know we didn't. I don't know that we ever built any solid structure out of vines. I mean, maybe you could tie them together and make a rope. I don't know. But the reality is the vine is a very, very, very thin branch. Even the stock of a vine is not that big. It's not like a tree trunk that you can wrap your arms around. And so he's asking the question, how is the wood of the vine better than any of the wood of the branch, which is among the trees? Can wood be taken from it, from the vine, to make anything? Or can men take a peg from it in which they can hang any vessel? In other words, could you do that? Well, some may argue, well, you could take the fattest part of the vine and make that into a peg. I don't know. If it has been put into the fire for fuel, and the fire has consumed both of its ends and its middle parts, has been charred, is it then useful for anything? He's saying, hey, listen, you know, when you're burning this stuff up, I mean, what's the use of the vine? Did you notice that God doesn't say that we're grafted into a pine tree? Or we're grafted into a, you know, an oak tree. He doesn't say we're grafted in. He says we're grafted into the vine. And why? That's what we're investigating. Behold, while it is intact, it is not made into anything. How much less when the fire has consumed it and it is charred, can it be made into anything? It's like, not really. The only purpose of the vine, for the most part, is to produce grapes. It's to produce fruit. That's the greatest thing. You know, a pine tree, in essence, doesn't produce fruit that, you know, I guess you can get pine needles, pine cones, you know. I mean, those kind of things. But the vine, although pretty much useless in itself, the fruit is amazing and delicious. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, as the wood of the vine among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so have I given up the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He's saying, listen, you have defiled my sanctuary, you have defiled my people, you have defiled my laws, you have defiled everything about me, and I'm giving you over to these things. And I set my face against them, though they have come out of the fire. Yet the fire will consume them. Then you will know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. So this last little statement, and this is a repeated statement in Ezekiel. Some may ask, why is God so judgy in the book of Ezekiel? Well, remember, 400 and some years before, you know, maybe up to 1,000 years before, we see that God forewarned Israel time after time after time after time that you will have a choice. If you do this, you're going to have discipline. If you do this, you're going to have life. If you do this, you're going to experience death. If you do that, you're going to experience abundant life. So he even said, my preference is that you choose life. So God forewarns them, and then they come to a place where they have defiled and did everything that he told them not to do, and now God's disciplining them. So you may not like that he's judgy or that he's appears to be some kind of wrathful God, but his wrath is not based in ignorance or foolishness or lack of forewarning. His wrath is based in a commitment to his word and his covenant. That's a powerful God. That's a trustworthy God. Thus, I will make the land desolate because they have acted unfaithfully, declares the Lord. He says it right here. I want you to know that I am the Lord, he says. And then he says, I am doing this because you've acted unfaithfully. This term, that they may know that I am the Lord, is God's whole point. He's our heavenly Father. He loves us. He cares for us. So, we're thinking about this vine. I thought of these other verses. It says this in Zechariah 4:6. Then he said to me, This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. So he lays out here in Zechariah that, you know, a vine in its own might, a vine in its own power, a vine in its own self really isn't much. It's not like it's a log or something. It is the Spirit of the living God that produces the fruit inside of you. So if we are grafted into the vine, or if you're Jewish and you are the vine, understand this, that only those who believe in Jesus Christ, who are bearing fruit, are what God has desired for our hearts and for our minds and for our lives each and every day. It's not by our power, nor by our might, nor by our position, nor by anything else. If we're a dead branch of that vine, God will prune us off. I can remember as a kid, my dad, and I didn't do this every day or something, but just there were certain seasons that we would do this, and probably was way more in my mind than it really was when I participated. But I can remember the few times I helped my dad go through our vineyards, and I just cut off all the dead stuff as we went. Just the ends of it. And then he would come back and address each vine and prune each one. So Lamentations says this, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I have hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the person who seeks him. It is good that he waits silently for the salvation of the Lord. Deuteronomy says it this way, know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. So God is faithful to his word. If he said that he would punish a certain behavior, God is faithful. He'll punish that behavior. If he said he would bless a certain behavior, God is faithful. He'll bless that behavior. You can't have half of the equation. You got to take the whole thing. So what's our application today? We are only to produce the fruit. Allow God to be faithful. He's the structure. He's the vine. He's the juice that keeps on giving. He's all those kind of good things. in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. You know, I think sometimes we think we're that great mighty oak or that great mighty pine tree or whatever. We're not. We're nothing but reliant upon the vine, Jesus Christ, to be the source and the energy of our life and to produce fruit for him. So what's this public square application for today? As you go into the public square, ask yourself, Lord, what fruit would you like me to produce today? Lord, do you want peace? Do you want patience? Do you want kindness? Do you want joy? God, produce that inside of me today. Surrender your flesh to Almighty God so that he can lift you up at the proper time and that you will see the goodness of the living God upon your life. Today might be a day that you lead someone to the Lord. Today might be a day that you pray for someone, that you bless someone. You can be a blessing to those around you. The Holy Spirit's going to speak to your heart and to your mind today as you go into that public square, and God wants to use you mightily. Don't be afraid to talk to him today. Don't be afraid to speak out on things that are pertaining to righteousness. God loves you so, so very much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day, and I do pray that as we go through it, God, that we would understand we're nothing. We're nothing, and you are everything. We're grafted in as Gentiles into the vine. And so, Lord, just flow through us. Produce the fruit that you want to produce through us today. We surrender all that we are, God. God, we know that our structure, our strength, our source of life is only found in you. We give you this day. Open our eyes to see the lost, the hurting, the down, the outcast, the frustrated, the annoyed around us. Let us be a blessing to those around us who have different perspectives, different insights, different thoughts. Let us lead them to Jesus Christ. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Go out there and defend in advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach. But you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.